And joining me in the KRVS studios is Mariusz Smoly, conductor and artistic director of the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, here to talk about a very special concert they're having. It's called Venice 1712, and it's going to be at the Cathedral of St. John in Lafayette. Lovely material, lovely venue. What a perfect pairing of those two.
Oh, thank you for having me in studio again. Mm-hmm. It's always a pleasure to be here. And I think I forgot to tell you, you are the person that pronounces my first and last name in absolutely perfect way.
So you mean some people get the first one right and then maybe the second one?
Yeah, but you sound as if you're from Poland. Really.
Maybe in a past life or something.
But anyway, yes, we have a wonderful two concerts coming up this weekend, actually Sunday and Monday. Our usual venue, which is the Hyman Performing Arts Center, I didn't think was appropriate for this type of musical journey we would like to offer our audience in the coming days. We're going to sort of bring everybody back 300 years to year 1712 to a wonderful city of Venice. And I believe that the beauty of the architecture the city offers is not only mirrors in those canals and waters that run around those beautiful buildings, but it's also mirrored in music. That was a wonderful time in the Italian and Venetian history where many wonderful, most prominent composers would move to Venice or around Venice and would compose and perform there because there was a wonderful market, so to speak, a lot of great sponsorship, both coming from the church and for very wealthy private citizens of Venice. That's why we have people like Gabrielli or Vivaldi living there and performing and composing at that time. So the music that our audience will hear in a few days in Lafayette will be exactly the type of concert music the audience in Venice heard 300 years ago. And because most of the concerts for the public were performed either and smaller venues when the music was more chamber-oriented, private homes, or when larger performing forces were employed, such as ours, the music was always performed in church. That's why we are moving our performance to the St. John Cathedral, and also for the acoustical reasons. One of the things we're trying to do with our concert this coming weekend is to repeat this stereophonic effect that the early 18th century and late 17th century composer experimented with in the St. Mark Basilica in Venice. The St. Basilica in Venice is built such a way it has a number of different balconies around the church. There's a main choir loft in the back, like with every church. And there, I think there are two or three on each side as you walk towards the front of the church. And the music directorship in the Basilica went from one member of the Gabrielli family to another member of the Gabrielli family. The family sort of had a monopoly of music directorship in the cathedral for something like 80 years or 70 years. But all of them were terrific musicians, and they knew the acoustic intimately. And particularly Giovanni Gabrielli, which was one of the later Gabriellis, he wrote a number of pieces for choir or instrumental ensembles where he would place small ensembles around the church. He would experiment how they would sound playing off each other and what would be the experience of listeners sitting in the center of this church hearing music coming
early
from different
sides.
Early
surround sound.
It was early surround sounds, really. And I think he really perfected writing music for two ensembles. They experimented with more, but they settled with two. And the most popular form was either piece for two choirs or piece for two brass ensembles. They had some very good brass ensembles placed at that time. The development of trumpet was much better than a few years ago, and they are experimenting how high the trumpet can play. Therefore, we have those high baroque trumpets. And we're going to do exactly the same at St. John Cathedral. We're going to put one brass ensemble on the choir loft and one brass ensemble in the front of the church. And I think given the acoustics of our church being similar to the acoustic of St. Mark Basilica, I think we're going to kind of recreate that experiment from 300 years ago.
So you're continuing to take us around the world with this concert.
Yes. <it's>,
now to Venice. Well, tell us about the music. You've mentioned the Gabrielli family, but the pieces that you all will be performing, tell us about these pieces.
Yeah, there are actually two composers featured, those two most prominent and famous composers coming from Venice from that period of time. One is Giovanni Gabrielli, I just mentioned, and we're going to play two pieces for brass ensembles being separated by space and giving the audience in the middle this stereophonic effect, and also this with the special ambience of those church acoustics. And then you have two works by Antonio Vivaldi, probably the most famous Venetian musician ever. Vivaldi was a leader of a school orchestra for orphanage in Venice, and part of his, for many years before he became employed by other more prominent musical employers, but he was in the school for about 15 or 16 years, and one of the things he had to do there was to compose something for the kids to play. Similarly with Johann Sebastian Bach, was employed as an organist in St. Thomas Church in Leipzig, but part of his duties was not just to play at the religious celebrations, he had to write music. Same was with Vivaldi. He was not only conducting the orchestra, but he was also composing works. That's why we have over 400 different instrumental concertos that Vivaldi wrote, because he was pressed to do it. It was part of what he had to do. Of course, he was very talented, and he left with us over 400 concertos, ranging from one violin to two violin to four violins, concertos for cello, concertos for mandolin, concertos for flute, for piccolo, for guitar, all possible instruments, because he wanted the kids to participate in the program. Mm-hmm. So from this part of Vivaldi's compositional output, we're going to feature a concerto for two violins, very famous, in A minor, being performed by our principal players, Lauren Baker and Emil Ivanov. And then we're going to feature a piece from other source of his output, which are the religious pieces and large works. Vivaldi, which is not very well known, also wrote operas. He wrote large-scale forms. And one of the most popular and successful is a setting to Gloria. Gloria is part of the Mass, of course, and there are many musical settings to Mass written during the Baroque and later periods, because church was one of the major sponsors of music, and, you know, they commissioned those work, and many wonderful works happened because of those commissions. And Vivaldi, like many other Baroque composers, was also commissioned to those type of works. And he was very, very successful, especially in those shorter setting of the Mass, not the entire Masses, but things like Gloria or Magnificat. So we're going to perform this Gloria, which is written for large chorus and orchestra. And we are very happy to collaborate in this piece with not only our ASO chorus, but also students from Yale. We're going to have a student chorus from Yale, joining forces with chorus from ASO and, of course, our orchestra.
If you're just tuning in, Mariusz Smoly, conductor of the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, is talking about their upcoming concert that will be in the Cathedral of St. John here in Lafayette, and will be featuring music from Venice by Vivaldi and Gabrielli. And just a magnificent setting, of course, and these beautiful pieces that will be performed. And how nice that you'll be collaborating with UL and having some of their voice students participate.
It's always very important for us to get and engage in the community as much as possible. You know, we have children performing with us on almost every season for the last several years through our program called Acadiana Sings, and upcoming Christmas concert will be no different. We again have a lot of children singing with us. We are engaging with schools, we are engaging with other non-profit organizations, and collaborating with local community singers and the students is very, very important to us. So I'm very happy that all those forces are coming together towards a common goal, performing beautiful music.
Yes, and again, choosing this venue, this beautiful venue, to present this music. And as you were talking about the appropriateness of it, I was also thinking that there's something a bit Eastern about the cathedral, with the blocks of varying colors, and just thinking about Venetian architecture, you see that. There's different blocks of color. And
It's a beautiful cathedral. In my mind, has a perfect size. It's not too big, not too small. So when you go there, of course, there is still this beautiful large ambience of the reverberation to the sound, but at the same time, you're not too far from the performers. So if you come to a concert, even if you sit towards the back of the church, you still feel like you are part of the musical family, especially with the musicians being placed in different parts of the church, as I mentioned. So you're going to be closer than ever
to all of the musicians. Now, it is a smaller seating area, so you're going to have two concerts, one Sunday and one on Monday. On Sunday, it's in the afternoon.
Sunday is at 3 p.m. and Monday at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. This is a shorter concert, so we don't have an intermission. We just play all those work sort of in one chunk, and the concert will be over after about 60 minutes. So If you can join us on Sunday at 7 o'clock, the concert will be done by 8 o'clock and you can still do your homework, do your laundry, have your dinner and enjoy this really unusual, unusually beautiful music.
Right. And of course, if you have season's tickets, you've already gotten your ticket,
right.
And this is a part of the regular concert series.
Yeah. I like to mention that because of our agreement with the church, we will not be selling tickets at the door.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to purchase a ticket, you need to either stop at our office or more conveniently go to our website, ekidianasymphony.org, and you can purchase tickets online. Sunday is almost sold out, so I recommend trying to get tickets for Monday at 7 p.m.
All right, so reservations are not just a good idea, you have to.
You have to
reserve ahead of time.
Right.
No tickets at the door of the church.
Right.
again, Sunday at 3, Monday at 7,
yes.
And Sunday almost sold out. So
right.
Check on the availability of tickets for that day. We're talking about the concert Venice 1712, the music of Vivaldi and Gabrielli. I'm sure people can find their music on the web or on your website. The Acadiana Symphony Orchestra will have a little bit of information.
Yes, a lot of information.
Concert.
You know, it's always a good idea to, with the technology available today, go on YouTube and, you know, write in Vivaldi 2 violin concerto in A minor. You're going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come and hear it live, you're going to love it.
Especially in the cathedral.
Right.
You'll
and
really
and
love
same
it.
With the Magnificent Gloria by Vivaldi. You have a beautiful big chorus and big orchestra. It's really very uplifting.
Yeah, a really unique opportunity to hear those pieces in the cathedral, in that space, and to hear that sound. That's this Sunday, 3 o'clock, Monday at 7 o'clock. Tickets available through the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra. My guest, Mariusz Smoly, conductor and artistic director of the symphony. Thank you so much for offering us this beautiful opportunity.
Thank you very much.
And now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. There will be a special lecture this evening at 6:30 on the UL campus. The physics department at UL Lafayette is presenting Patrick McGarity from Loyola, giving a talk entitled The U.S. Space Shuttle Program, An Inside Look at the Final Years. That will be at 6:30. It's a free presentation. It will be in the auditorium of Oliver Hall. That is at 301 East Lewis Street on the UL campus. It's the computer science building. If you've not been on campus in a while, it's where the old McNasby Stadium was. That building is there, and it's in the auditorium. 6:30, free and open to everyone. If you're interested in the U.S. Space Shuttle Program, as an expert to talk about that, those final years of the program for all ages. In Lake Charles, the McNeese Department of Visual Arts will host an opening reception this evening from 6 to 8 in the Abercrombie Gallery for a pair of exhibitions, Navigating the Currents and Drawing Invitational. Opening by the Tea Sippers Theater Company, opening tonight, 70 Scenes of Halloween. They're playing all 70 scenes of this play by Jeffrey Jones. The Tea Sippers are a young theater group, all teenagers, and this is the third year that they have put on 70 Scenes of Halloween. They're quite accomplished with this play, and they're very excited about this particular presentation of it. It will be at Theater 810 through the weekend. It will be at 7:30 tonight, Friday and Saturday, and on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Tickets are available by calling Theater 810 or going to their Eventbrite site. Tonight in Lake Charles, the McNeese Wind Symphony will give a free fall concert, 7:30 in the Shearman Fine Arts Theater. It's under the direction of Dr. Jacobs, and they'll be presenting quite a variety of music. Tomorrow, the Bach Lunch Series continues with a performance in Parc Sans Souci by the Mercy Brothers from noon until 1. Following their performance at around 1 o'clock, singer Mackenzie Borg will perform a few songs and have a meet and greet. All are invited to stay for that. Downtown Alive will present Roddy Romero and the Hub City All-Stars in Parc International. Music starts at around 6 o'clock. At the Lafayette Science Museum, the Museum of Fear continues Friday and Saturday evenings from 7 to 11. You can call ahead to reserve tickets or get tickets at the door. Acting Up in Acadiana presents for one night only the performance 2012, The Ridiculous and the Profound. It's an original work pondering the year in which we live. There will be contributions from numerous writers on subjects such as zombies, school rules, headline rants, and many more. That will be at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, Friday night only. Tickets are available through the ACA. Opening at Cité des Arts on Friday, that vampire play, which is Vampire Lesbians of Sodom, longest-running play on Off-Broadway. It will be here in Lafayette. Opening on Friday, it will run this weekend, next weekend, and there will be two special performances on Halloween. For more information or tickets, you can contact Cité or go to their website. On Friday, the McNeese Department of Performing Arts will present guest artist, pianist Willis Deloney. He'll perform at 7:30 in the Shearman Fine Arts Theater. Willis Deloney is the Aloysia Barineau Professor of Keyboard Studies and Professor of Jazz Studies at LSU in Baton Rouge. He will be performing music by Bill Evans, Mozart, Patrick Cheng, and many others. That will be Friday, 7:30 in the Shearman Fine Arts Theater in Lake Charles, Willis Deloney. Also in Lake Charles on Friday, the Louisiana Choral Foundation presents American music in a program called America's Neighborhood. That will be Friday, October 19th at 7:30 at the First United Methodist Church. Also on Sunday, the 21st at 3 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church. For more information or tickets, you can call the Louisiana Choral Foundation or go to their website. This Saturday is Household Chemical Day in Lafayette Parish. They will be collecting chemicals at the Cajun Field parking lot. The collection day is for households only. No businesses may drop off, and they are not accepting motor oil, automotive batteries, tires, and televisions, but all other chemicals will be accepted. This Saturday in Bro Bridge, the first annual Shake Your Trail Feather Festival put on by the Tesh Project. It will be at Parc des Ponts. in Brobridge, noon until 6 o'clock this Saturday, October 20th. There will be lots of great music, David Egan and 20 Years of Trouble, Roddy Romero and the Hub City All-Stars, and Bonsoir Katam. There will be lots of information about the Bayou Teche Project. There will be a heritage tent all on Saturday from noon to 6 in Parc des Ponts, Brobridge, the Shake Your Trail Feather Festival. This coming Sunday, the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra will perform the concert entitled Venice 1712 at the Cathedral of St. John in Lafayette. On Sunday, it will be at 3, on Monday at 7 o'clock, and they will be performing the music of Vivaldi and Gabrielli. No tickets will be sold at the door. If you're interested in tickets, you can go to the Acadiana Symphony website or call their office. The Bayou Vermilion Festival will be held this Sunday at Vermilionville. It starts at 10 o'clock and then at 2. There will be the first annual Bayou Vermilion Festival Boat Parade. You can register now whether your boat has an engine or you want to go by kayak or canoe or a party barge. All are accepted. You'll just be put in different parts of the parade. Please call Vermilionville to register for the first annual Bayou Vermilion Festival Boat Parade this Sunday starting at 2 o'clock from Vermilionville. Also on Sunday, the Louisiana Groove for the Festival of Words will take place 2 to 6 p.m. at the Blue Moon Saloon. The Festival of Words will take place in November in Grand Coteau and surrounding areas, and this is a benefit for the Festival of Words. 2 to 6 at the Blue Moon Saloon, the Louisiana Groove for the Festival of Words. Performing will be Lisa and Harry Trahan, Donnie and the Pool Dudes, and Henry Gray with Lawrence Taylor, Alonzo Johnson, and many other special guests. The Acadiana Center for the Arts will have their second annual Saints and Sinners Masquerade Bash this Saturday from 7 to 11. Tickets are available through the Acadiana Center for the Arts. And this coming week, UL Lafayette will have a fall blood drive on Wednesday and Thursday, the 24th and 25th. They will have lots of special prizes for the people donating. They will be in front of Dupre Library Wednesday and Thursday. And a special book signing for a new biography of John Kennedy Toole. Corey McLaughlin has just written the biography on John Kennedy O'Toole called Butterfly in the Typewriter, the Tragic Life of John Kennedy Toole and the Remarkable Story of a Confederacy of Dunces. There will be a book signing for Corey McLaughlin next week on October 25th at St. Street Inn. All are invited. That will be from 5 to 6 p.m. on that day. He will also be at the Louisiana Book Festival in Baton Rouge on October 27th. And the Friends of the Lafayette Public Library will hold their annual author dinner featuring Rick Bragg next Thursday, October 25th. You can reserve. Deadlines for reservations are this Monday, October 22nd. You can call the Friends of the Library or any of the branch libraries to find out more. And the film Water on the Road, which is a documentary by director John Sharp, which tells the story of Ile de Jean Charles, a small community made up of members of the Biloxi, Chittimacha, Choctaw tribe and Homa Indian tribes. That will be screened in Grand Coteau next week on Tuesday, October 23rd. It's a free screening. All are invited to see this film. His current project is Dance Halls of South Louisiana, and we'll be looking forward to that one as well. But you can see Water on the Road this coming Tuesday, the 23rd, 7 o'clock at Casa Azul. And opening on the 24th next week, Wanderlust Theater Company presents Monster Tales by Mary Jett Parsley. That will run through Sunday, and that will be performed at Theater 810. And so many things going on. It's a good idea to have your calendar. Opening tonight, actually, on the UL Lafayette campus, Reasons to Be Pretty by Neil LaBute. Tickets will be available at the door, or you can reserve them by calling the Department of Performing Arts. That's tonight, directed by Nathan Gabriel, Reasons to Be Pretty. It opens and runs through the weekend. And of course, KRVS's annual fall fundraiser will start tomorrow morning with the Blues Box. We hope to hear from all of you there. Many of you already renewing through the mail or online. But if you haven't, we hope to hear from you. And perhaps you'll join us stopping in or calling by telephone starting tomorrow with the Blues Box and running through the following Sunday. Great new Blues Box t-shirts, wonderful mugs. We'll be posting pictures of those throughout the week, starting tomorrow, 6 o'clock, and going through the Blues Box. Stay tuned to KRVS this afternoon and evening. We're with NPR's All Things Considered from 4 until 6 o'clock. From 6 to 7, Terry Gross hosts Fresh Air. At 7 o'clock on Thursdays, it's This American Life. Thistle and Shamrock at 8. Franco Mix with Val Broussard Boston at 9. Earthbeat at 10 o'clock with Cecil Doyle. Spin Cycle at 11. Midnight Snack at midnight. And Putumayo at 1 o'clock in the morning. In just a few moments, we will be joining NPR's All Things Considered.